Take your Bibles this morning and turn to, where can I have you start out first? Let's go to Luke chapter 8, and we will start there, talking about good ground, the parable of the seed and the sower, which is part of our understanding of the seed of resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 is where we started out. And I know it seems like we're a long way from home on 1 Corinthians, but I like to just study and try to draw in as much as possible, try to be as biblical as possible in our little bitty minds, try to be as biblical as possible on our understanding of what this Bible is trying to teach and what it's trying to say. And I have found over the years that one part of the Bible is always related to other parts of the Bible. You bring them all in for a big supper and we all get along together. And so when we started studying about seeds and trying to understand the resurrection, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:35, that some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, into every seed his own body. So Paul had mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15 about the idea that the resurrection and how God performs that is related to just like someone planting a seed. So from there, we were looking at the parable of the seed and the sower, Matthew 13, Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8. And we talked about the wayside, the stony ground, the thorny ground. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 8, he says, another fell on good ground and sprang up, and bear fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In verse 15, he said, and he gives the explanation of it, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Keeping the word. That is the essential. It as far as what I can see from scriptures. Keeping God's word, keeping it, holding on to it, abiding under it, living by it, believing it. You've heard me use this illustration before, but I think it's absolutely valid, is the idea of a contract, the covenant that God makes with us. God's part of that covenant is that He will give eternal life. Who does He give eternal life to? Does He give it to everybody? No. He offers it to everybody. Offers it. Some don't accept. In fact, a lot of people don't accept. I don't understand that. I really don't. I mean, I understand sin. I get sin. Okay? I understand it. But I don't understand the idea that God offers you a free pardon from all of your sins and transgressions, if you'll just accept it and believe and trust in what Christ did. And people don't buy it. They don't want it. They seem to make a joke out of it in some cases. And I just don't understand that. But he references the idea of the seed going into ground. The seed, of course, we know, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 talks about the seed being the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. So we have other witnesses in the Bible to tell us what this seed is. It is the Word of God, and it lives and abides forever. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to do some comparison here, okay? Who can remember what I preached a year ago today? Can anybody remember what I preached a year ago today? Bill? Joe? Sterling? Gary? The gospel. Yeah. Yeah. Don't try out for Jeopardy anytime soon, all right? All right. Anyway, I don't remember what I preached a year ago. I don't remember. Who remembers what I preached a month ago? I don't either. Okay? My words fail. My words are corruptible. They don't last. Well-intentioned. Doing my best to try to explain what's in this book. But my words fail. You what? Oh, she keeps a book on me? I don't even want to know what's in that book. I don't want to know. My words are corruptible. God's word is not corruptible. It cannot be corrupted. Did you know that? Did you know that you cannot alter permanently God's word? You cannot corrupt it. It's always going to be around, no matter what. So it is the incorruptible word. And if anybody is converted on my words alone, they're not really converted. They're not. If it's just me, and I know preachers who have that attitude, that their words are so good and so powerful and so crafty that they can convert sinners. No, you can't. Because if your words are corruptible, then their conversion is corruptible. Amen? Okay? It won't last. Won't work. So anyway, but the seed having landed on the ground, it can either fall on stony ground. We talked about that. It can fall among thorns, and the thorns choke out the word. And in Luke 8, verse 15, he clearly says, But on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. And I believe that real biblical salvation is a perpetual keeping of God's word. You don't get saved, believe one day, and then just quit believing, and you're still quote-unquote saved. There are no unbelievers in heaven. They don't exist. I don't care what anybody says. That's what the book says. So, what does it take to have good ground? What does it take? He mentions an honest and a good heart. What does it take to have good ground? Genesis chapter 3, verse 23. I'm going to run through some scriptures and just kind of move through this. You can take notes, try to follow along if you can. Genesis chapter 3, verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. This was actually part of the curse that fell upon Adam. The curse, there was a curse on the serpent, there was a curse on Eve, and there was a curse on Adam. And the curse that was on Adam was, whereas when Adam was in the garden, he had free access to everything that God had. It was totally free. If he was hungry, just pull something off the tree. If he was thirsty, just drink or whatever. And what God did after the fall was that he cursed the ground. And he said, Adam, from now on, if you want to eat, it's going to be by the sweat of your face. And I don't care what job you do. I don't care how easy you might have it. There's labor involved. There is sweat involved. And even in what I do, it's not so much today because I'm still freezing today for some reason. I'm cold today. But normally, I'm up here, sweat's just rolling down my face. And so anyway, but God sent Adam, because the ground now was going to work against him. The ground was going to work against him. It wasn't going to be as easy as it used to be. It's going to require some work. And he said, Adam, if you want to eat, you're going to have to work for it. If you want food in your belly, you want to feed your family, you're going to have to toil after it. I'll bless it. I'll be good to you. But it's going to take work. And so he sent Adam out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground. What does that mean, to till the ground? Very simple. What does it mean? Break it up. Turn it. Okay? Break up those clods of dirt. Isaiah 28, verse 23. Give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? The answer is yes. Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? The answer is yes. When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not, in other words, when he's taken the ground and he's tilled it up and he's broken it up And he's broke all the clods of dirt, all the hard places of dirt. That right there, in order to keep the seed alive and growing, we break up the ground. If we have stony ground, if we have a hard heart, ask God to soften your heart. Ask God to break it up for you. Ask the worker to break up the hard ground of your life. Sometimes when I'm preaching or teaching, sometimes I am watering. Sometimes I'm just letting some gentle water come down on your soul. Sometimes when I preach, I'm feeding. Sometimes when the preacher preaches, he's plowing up stony ground. We need that kind of preaching. We need every now and then for someone, a man of God, to come and plow up some stripes on our backside and plow up some hard stony ground in our lives to break us from our pride, from our arrogance, from our conceit, from our apathy, from whatever it is. We need that kind of preaching. By the way, I've got Mike Hutzel coming. Let's see here. In March, I think it's March the 16th. Somebody get a calendar out real quick, and I'll give the exact dates on that. It should be a Sunday. March the 16th, a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Did I get that date right? March the 16th. Is that a Sunday? That's a Sunday. Mark that down in your calendars. Brother Mike Hutzel is going to come. And I'm hoping he'll come with a plowshare and plow up some ground. That's what I hope. I hope he does it for me. And because I need it. I need God to break me every now and then. I need God to bring me down a few notches. And so he says in verse 25 of Isaiah 28, "When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches? Scatter the cumin, and cast in the principal wheat, and the appointed barley, and the rye in their place." All of these are seeds that he's casting into the ground. But what did he have to do first? He had to break the ground. Ask yourself this question. Have you ever seen the work of God in your life where God first broke up the hard ground of your mind and of your heart, then put in the seed? Have you ever had times when God did that for you? Absolutely. In fact, that's normally how it's done. How does a person come to the Lord? Usually, and if it's done right, God will plow up their life. He'll turn over. He'll break things apart. He'll make it like everything is for a loss. And when he's made plain the ground, when he's made the face of it nice and plain, then God would begin to sow seed into your life. That's usually how it's done, because God knows that it's a waste of time for him to, because preacher after preacher will come in and they'll preach messages, and if you've got hard-heartedness or you've got a bunch of sin in your life, that will not let the Word of God into your heart where it belongs. You sit there with an attitude, you can say, "Well, I don't like that kind of preaching." First time I ever heard Reg Kelly preach, I sat here like this, going, "He ain't supposed to preach like that. He can't say things like that. That's mean. That's cruel. You're not supposed to do that." I sat there like this for an hour, and my wife poked me and said, "How come you don't preach that way?" Then I was mad at two people. And by the time the message is over, I was mad at only one person. Me. Because God sent me down. That was the first time I went to Harrison, Arkansas to preach down there. And I realized that God had me down there not to give, but to get. And God showed me, "Mike, every now and then, I got to take this Bible and I got to harden it. I got to turn it into a plow, and I got to plow up some hard-heartedness in your life. Then I can sow some good things into that ground." And take your Bible very quickly to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28 is just one of those chapters that I know fairly well, or at least part of it. But even in saying that, every time I study Isaiah 28, I learn something new. Isaiah 28 is, let's see here, verse 5. And go back to verse 3. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. The glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. And that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty, and the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. Verse 7, but they have also erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. And then he talks about how all the priests and the prophets and the leaders of Judah and Israel, they're so drunk with false doctrine that you cannot get the truth out of them. And then he says in verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. And it's in that concept, in that idea, God is looking for someone that he can teach. God is looking for someone that he can educate, that he can give sound doctrine to, that he can give good Bible teaching to. So when you go back down to verse 23 and verse 24, doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground when he hath made plain the face thereof? Doth he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and appointed barley and the rye in their place? And then look at verse 26. For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. You see the connection that God made. He's asking, whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Then he says, when a plowman goes out and he plows all day, what is the purpose of that? It is so that he can plant the seed, the barley, the rye, the wheat, so he can plant that seed. And he says, his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. And so you just take this, make a little note, Isaiah 28, and then read 1 Peter, the whole book, 5 chapters. It's real easy. And what God will show you, God will connect those things together. What God will show you is, I want to teach you. I want you to understand things. I want you to understand doctrine. I want you to know that this Bible is right. But the only way that I can do that is to break you. Is to break you. I've got to break you up. Jesus talked about him being a stone. And he said, whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. And that's the good part, because when we're broken before God, God can then rebuild the pieces and put everything back together. But he said, but also on them, he said, this stone will fall on them and grind them into powder. And part of the sermon this morning has to deal with that. But anyway, read 1 Peter, read Isaiah 28, and what God's going to show you is he will send persecution after you. He'll send trials. He'll send tribulation. He'll send hard times. He'll send days when things are not going very well. Things are not going very well at home. He'll send those times. Things are not going very well at work. Maybe you're in fear of losing your job. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you're afraid that the economy is going to turn and business is going to slow down. Or maybe whatever. But he'll send hard times. And what he's doing for you. Because God is taking a plow. And he's breaking up hard-heartedness in our lives. Once he's got that all good and broke up, then he'll take this Bible and he'll start sowing seeds into your life. And that's what we want anyway. Amen? Isn't that what we want? Okay? Isn't that better than having a supernatural experience in a church service? Isn't that better than having a rock and roll show and a light show with fog machines? And isn't that better than that? Any church can put on a show and give you a pep rally that will last you about that long. I like sports. I like going to football games, basketball games, high school games, stuff like that. I like going to that stuff. I like watching a good football game and rooting and cheering just like everybody else does. And when we go to the car, game's over. And whatever I may have had on my mind before the game started and what left my mind during the game, now when I get back and get back home, reality sets in and it's still there. That makes sense to everybody. Why did you get drunk? Why did you do that? Well, I do it to forget. Yeah, but when you sober up, it's right back there. Why not? And if you read Isaiah 28, he's talking about the drunkards of Ephraim. Why not, instead of a temporary solution to the issues of life, why not seek out a permanent solution? Why not seek out something that is going to last you far beyond one day or one week? Because once something bears seed and bears fruit, that one plant, even though it dies in the fall, the seed of that plant carries on to the next year, and then to the next year, and then to the next. The only way that doesn't work if Monsanto gets a hold of it and messes with it. Amen? Don't get me started. But see, that's how it works. Adam, in the Garden of Eden, lives on today in us. So does Christ, the second Adam. So anyway, that's you just compare those two together. 1 Peter, Isaiah 28, you do some study on that this week and let God do some good things in you, all right? You'll have understanding when things are going bad and you're wondering why this is happening to you. You're wondering why. What is it you did? Maybe you didn't do anything. But maybe God is just bringing this stuff your way so He can soften your hard heart. So when He's done, He can just take seed and seed will do what seed does. You don't have to do anything. Once you put the seed in the ground, you don't have to tell it, coax it, bribe it, sweet talk it. I know some people put their plants in front of speakers and play music to it. Once you put seed in good ground, you don't have to do nothing. It's going to grow. Amen? Jeremiah 4:3. You might want to turn there, Jeremiah 4:3. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Isn't that interesting that God said that all in the same verse? And do you think it has a connection to what we've been studying as far as the good ground, the stony ground, the thorny ground? Absolutely. Because He says in this one verse, break up your fallow ground, number one, and number two, sow not among thorns. What is the role of a church? The role of a church, a local congregation, or the preacher in a church, the role of that church is, number one, evangelistic, got to get people saved, but number two, so that church people can grow and have eternal life. We don't bring it, we don't give it, but we provide the situation where, number one, I know that if there's someone out there and I know that they're lost, they're dying, they're going to hell, if I attempt to just sweet talk them and tell them, oh, don't worry about anything you're doing, it's okay, just keep doing it, and then try to give them Jesus, it won't work. I've either sown on fallow ground or I've sown among thorns. What is going to happen? It's not going to bring forth fruit. We already know that. And so the role of a church is to preach and teach the Word of God in such a way as that to prepare your heart to receive what God has for you. We've got to, number one, we've got to break up, we've got to plow up some ground in some people's lives. Now, let me say this, okay? I have the misfortune sometimes of knowing things about people that go to church here. I had that misfortune. Every now and I may not say a whole lot. Every now and then, I'm going to preach on certain things. And you might wonder, well, why is he preaching on that? What is he doing? Maybe it's because I know some things. And I know that God is wanting to deliver some people. Maybe it's here in this congregation, or maybe it's some people online that I know. And God every now and then will have me preach a message. And it'll be in an attempt to, number one, break up some hard, stony ground. Number two, to make sure that the thorns and the thorn bushes have been gotten out of the way so the seed can go in. So every now and then you hear me preach on something, you might ask, why is he doing that? Why is he preaching on this? Why does he keep talking about that? It's because God's probably given me a heavy heart, and I have to say some things so that some people will repent. Let's just be honest. Okay? Let's be honest. Are there times, you and I, where we know we should repent, but don't? Yep. Let's just make it personal. Are there times when you should have apologized to your wife and didn't? And why didn't you? Still mad at her. Are there times you should have forgiven your wife and didn't? Yeah, why? Still mad at her. Don't want to. It's the same way with God, isn't it? There are times we do stuff, we're not sorry. So you know what God will do? He'll pull out his plow and he'll start overturning the hard-heartedness of our lives. You see, that hard-heartedness is just on top of the ground. Usually there's a shell about this deep of really hard ground. And then you overturn that. What's underneath that shell? Nice, moist, soft dirt. So look at what God has done in your life. He's overturned. He's plowed it up. He's broken it up. Now all of a sudden we're not hard anymore. We've softened. Now we'll repent. Now we'll come to our Father and say, God, I'm sorry. God, please forgive me. God, help me to have forgiveness on other people. Help me to apologize to people I've offended, people that I've hurt. God, help me to do that. That's the purpose of it. He's breaking up the fallow ground and he's cutting out the thorns in your life. Let's see here. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. The sluggard, you know what a sluggard is? A sluggard is someone who moves as quick as a slug. Sluggards don't move very fast. Sluggards, when you say, get up, they don't get up very fast. Sluggards need to join the Marine Corps, amen, or the Army. And when they tell you to get up, what do, Joe? You get up. You get up! No sluggards allowed. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Now, in this Bible, right? God ordained 6 days for us to work. We're still in those 6 days. We have to work. There's a rest coming. But for now, we work the work of God. And we cannot be sluggards about it. The sluggard won't plow. Oh, it's too cold out there. Go out there and start plowing. You'll warm up. Amen? You'll warm up. God fixed it to where he'll just generate lots of heat in you. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall, here it is right here. They shall beat their swords. This is the sword right here. It's the word of God. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And by the way, this is a prophecy of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. I can't wait for that one. Amen? And the UN has a big statue out in front of it. I think it's at the UN. You got a big statue of some guy, of a man beating a sword into a plowshare. The United Nations thinks that they are going to fulfill that promise. It's not going to happen with the UN. Amen? In fact, they're probably the source of the problem, not the solution. It's only going to happen when Christ gets in on the scene. And that same thing applies to you and us today. If there's troubles in our life, if there's hard-heartedness, if there's unforgiveness, if there's unrepentance in our life, we have no ability to change ourselves. Mankind has been seeking peace now for thousands of years. We've never been able to pull it off. Only Christ can do that. So what He'll do is He'll take the sword and He'll put it in the fire and He'll beat it into a plowshare so that the Bible going into your life is what's cutting the rows in your life and breaking up those clods, and He turns it into a pruning hook. That pruning hook is we still use them today, although we've got sophisticated. We put a lightweight McCullough chainsaw on the end of them deals. Makes it a lot easier, doesn't it? Okay? But it's the same thing. Some of them branches and some of them vines got to be cut off because they ain't no good. And they're going to kill the rest of it. You just might as well figure, if you're going to try to live right, try to live for the Lord, some stuff's got to go. Amen? Cut out them thorn bushes and weed it out. And that's all in relation to the Word of God. And when that happens, do you know what you'll realize? You'll realize that you're not mad at everybody all the time anymore. That's what he was saying here. He said, when that happens, nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. You'll quit fighting everybody around you. When God softens your heart, when God turns you over, when God begins to clean up the mess of your life and begins to sow good things, and all of a sudden now you're not mad at everybody all the time anymore. Now you're not wanting to fight all the time. Now things are good and you've got a soft heart and God has blessed you. Boy, this Bible's good. Amen? This is all how to get good ground. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. You ever heard that passage of Scripture that says, "Ye shall sow or ye shall reap what you sow"? So if you go to the bars all the time and sow, what are you going to reap? Drunkenness, foolishness. But if you sow to yourselves in righteousness. See this book right here? This is what Paul told Timothy. It is our instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is our instruction in righteousness. So if you'll sow, let's say that you've got a problem now looking at the ladies, guys. Let's say you've got a problem looking at the ladies. Okay? When you're sowing into your life and into your eyes and into your mind, you reap what you're going to sow. If you will, on the other hand, sow this book, which is the instruction in righteousness, thou shalt not commit adultery. When you sow those passages and sow those things, when you sow these good words out of the Scriptures, even those that are not related to where your eyes go, God will take that and He'll begin. All of a sudden now, you'll start reaping better things than you used to reap back in the old days. All of a sudden now, you start looking at your wife differently. She's more beautiful than any woman in the world. She's the greatest thing that ever happened to you. Ladies, the same applies to you in different areas, or maybe the same area. You don't like what's going on in your life, maybe you're sowing the wrong seed. Maybe you're reading the wrong junk. Maybe you're listening to the wrong stuff. I don't care what anybody says. You cannot listen to Lady Gaga and Justin Bieber. And all. You cannot listen to the world stuff and expect to have a Christian mindset on things. It doesn't work that way. If you want a biblical, godly mindset on how to think, the only way to do it is to sow into this brain the Word of God. Then what comes out of you will be clean and pure and holy. You see, Jesus is right. It's not what goes into us that defiles us, right? It's what comes out. But we're foolish to think that we can sit and watch rot gut TV shows or listen to rot gut music or drink rot gut whiskey or hang around rot gut people And with all of their influence coming into us, we're foolish to think that at some point that won't come out. Because it will. And that's when we're defiled. That's when we're messed up. So he said, sow to yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Do you see that? So first you sow. The fallow ground's been worked up. Then you sow righteousness in you. And then wait, because God's going to rain righteousness down upon you. See, all of those work together to do what? Produce the fruit. And fruit, as far as I'm concerned, needs lots of water. Why do we go pick peaches at Eckert's when the peaches come in? When I bite into those Eckert's peaches right from the tree, I have to wear a bib. Because one bite and it just runs all over me. I look like a 2-year-old child. And I love it. I absolutely love it. Nice, fresh, juicy peaches. Not them ones that have been imported from South America in mid-July or mid-January. Amen? Those nice, fresh ones. Boy, amen. Anyway, but he said in verse 13, you've plowed wickedness and you've reaped iniquity. You plowed wickedness. You reaped iniquity. You've eaten the fruit of lies because thou didst trust in thy way and in the multitude of thy mighty men. Did you see that? You trusted that your way was the best. You trusted in your own way. And God's got to come and break that up now. And He says, it's my way or nothing. You believe the Lord this morning, say amen.